Let's pray before we get into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to worship together this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word tells us that where one or two or where two or three are gathered, that you are there as well, that you are present with us. So, Heavenly Father, we believe wholeheartedly that you are present with us. Your Holy Spirit is here with us this morning. I would pray, Lord God, that as we get into your word this morning, as we study your word, as we try to learn from your word this morning, that you would speak into our lives, that you would allow us to open our hearts and our minds to what it is you might be speaking to us. And then not only would we hear it, but that as individuals that we would make the choice to do something with it, to allow it to change who we are as individuals. We pray this in your name. Amen. A man fell into a pit, and he couldn't get himself out of the pit. The subjective person walked by the pit and said, "I feel for you down there." The objective person walked by and said, "It's logical that somebody would fall into that pit." The Pharisee walked by and said, "Only bad people fall into pits." The mathematician calculated how deep the pit was. The news reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. The IRS agent asked him if he was paying taxes on the pit that he was living in. The self-pitying person said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit." The fire and brimstone preacher said, "You deserve the pit that you're in." The Christian scientist observed that the pit is just in your mind. The psychologist noted, "Your mother and father are to blame for you being in the pit." The self-esteem therapist said, "Believe in yourself and you can get out of that pit." The optimist said things could be better, and the pessimist said things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. I believe that if we are to list descriptive words of Jesus and Jesus' character, I believe one of those words that we would list would be this word called compassion, that he is a compassionate person. He's a compassionate God. Jesus was continually showing a living compassion for people that were all around him. Here are just a few examples of that come from Scripture. Jesus revealed who he was to the woman at the well. Jesus saved the woman caught in adultery. Jesus befriended Zacchaeus. Jesus went out to help the helpless and the harassed. Jesus healed those who were sick. Jesus extended forgiveness to those who sought it. Jesus showed compassion to those who were lost spiritually. We see these and so many more examples of Jesus' compassion throughout the New Testament of Scripture. The lifestyle of Jesus was a lifestyle of compassion. So as we're talking about biblical characteristics this morning, we're focusing in on this idea of being a compassionate people. Somebody asked me Friday night when I was at the Anvil Cleona football game what I was speaking on this Sunday, and I said, "Compassion." He said, "That is good timing." Isn't that true, though? It's good timing in our society right now to be speaking about, to be looking at the idea of compassion and what it means in our lives when we live lives that show compassion to other people. Compassion wasn't something that Jesus did when people were watching. It was a part of who he was and a part of his mission in life. He came to be and to show and to exhibit compassion. Jesus lived out compassion in practical ways that made a huge difference in the lives of the people that he came in touch with. Jesus showed his compassion to people who needed it, and when they needed it the most. I think one of the great examples of Jesus' compassion that we find in Scripture comes from the book of Mark chapter 8. So I'd encourage you to turn there with us this morning, the book of Mark chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 1. This will be a story, I think, that is probably familiar with many people that have grown up in the church. But it may be a new story to you if that hasn't been your situation. So we're going to take time, we're going to read through this particular example of compassion. It's Jesus and the feeding of the multitude. So starting at verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." They weren't just hopping into their cars and driving home. His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And we're going to stop there in our reading. So I want us to look at this passage and see what we can learn from Jesus about this word, this characteristic of compassion this morning. The first thing I think that we start with is just looking at the compassion of Jesus. The root of the word compassion used here to describe Jesus is a word that describes having a deep sympathy for somebody. The implication is that compassion is a deep-seated sympathy for others, so deep that it moves us to action, not just feeling bad for somebody, not just looking at the person in the pit and saying, "Oh, I'm sorry you fell into the pit," but reaching down and pulling the person out of the pit. In our passage, we see that Jesus felt something for these people from the very core of his being that led him to action, to meeting the need of these 4,000 people. The implication is simple. Whatever our need, whatever our hurt might be, whatever our struggle is that we're facing, we have a Savior who feels for us. But it doesn't stop there. We have a Savior that actively walks with us. No matter what we face in our lives, Jesus is moved in his heart to feel our pain and sympathize with our problems that we face. The reality is that Jesus is not only aware of our needs that we have, but he is also concerned about those needs. More than, I think that it's more than just a mere concern that Jesus has because of the needs that we have. I think Jesus cares about the difficulties that we face in life, like a parent cares about the difficulties that their child faces in life. When our children face something difficult, we show compassion as they walk through it. When our children face something difficult, we don't just show compassion and care through our words, but we do things to help our children walk through what they're facing. That's the compassion that Jesus shows all throughout New Scripture. Second thing that we see about compassion is compassion prompts action. It's interesting that whenever we see the word compassion associated with Jesus, almost always in Scripture, it's followed by an action. The reality is that compassion without action is really worthless because nothing happens and nothing changes. The work of Jesus moves people into the care of God himself. Compassion is shown by Jesus by when he heals the sick. Compassion is shown by Jesus by when he opens the eyes of the blind. Compassion is shown by Jesus when he feeds the multitudes that were hungry. Compassion is shown by Jesus when he gives of himself in our place on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. It's action. Compassion demands that you and I take action. If we are showing compassion to somebody else, if we're living out that biblical characteristic of compassion, it has to involve action. He began to teach them about the truth of God. He shared with them the good news, and he gave them a sense of hope. And Jesus reached out to people to meet both their physical and spiritual needs, our passage shows us. There were two types of hunger that were in the crowd that day, the physical hunger and the spiritual hunger. Those people had chosen to show up. Those 4,000 people had chosen to show up to be in the presence of Jesus. They were hungry for what Jesus had to say, but then there was this physical hunger as well. Jesus was there to feed them spiritually, but Jesus saw the need for physical food and he fed them physically as well. Jesus not only felt compassion, our scripture started out by saying that, right? He had taken the seven loaves, during those days another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people." So Jesus not only felt compassion, we know he felt it because he said it, but then he acts on that compassion. He took care of the situation that caused him to have compassion. Compassion must prompt action in our lives. Another thing we notice in this passage is that compassion is inclusive. It's for everybody. Jesus did not pick and choose who would get his compassion. He didn't. He reached out to all who needed him. He reached out to those who were in critical need, and he reached out to those who were critical of him. Jesus saw the need of the crowd was urgent and it was critical. It says in here that if I send them home hungry, they'll collapse on the way home because they've come from a long ways. Jesus would not allow their need to go unmet. And he would not allow them to walk away without caring for that physical need because of the compassion he was showing for them. The same is true of our lives today. Jesus cares about our needs and he wants to give us the strength we need to continue on through those situations. In biblical times, the religious leaders often came to fight with Jesus, but he did not give in to their behavior. I believe that Jesus actually probably felt sorry for a lot of those leaders who would not embrace the good news, the gospel. It's amazingly sad when people who claim to be Christians act in a manner that is un-Christ-like. We have to have compassion on those people as well, because they're not acting in a manner of Christ. Compassion. Like Christ, we are to show it to everybody. It's inclusive. And that's where it gets hard sometimes. To show compassion to somebody that's hurt you. To show compassion to somebody that you don't really know that well. It can be hard. But the example that's set before us in the life of Christ is that compassion is inclusive. Fourthly, compassion is rooted in personal experience. Scripture tells us that Jesus was fully human and fully God as he walked on the earth, right? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are a story, in a sense, of Christ's life on earth. And as Christ walked the earth, he was fully man, fully human. He experienced the same things that you and I experience in life, but he was also fully God. While Jesus walked the earth, he experienced the reality of hunger, if you remember. During 40 days of fasting, Jesus understood what physical hunger was. He had that personal experience. Jesus understood what the people, what the crowd were going through. Going 40 days without food allowed him, in his humanness, to experience what it meant to be without needed food. The experience gave him, I think, an added compassion for people. Our youth have, and Rachel and I have participated in this with our youth back in Ohio. Our youth here have done the 30-hour famine, where we raise awareness towards world hunger. And the youth will go for 30 hours without eating anything. And then they raise money, and the money is sent to support people that are without food. So there's two elements to it, right? There's the element of showing compassion through action, raising money and actually helping relieve the situation. But then there's the other element that I think is just as important as that, and that element is the experience. The experience of feeling the hunger pains after hours 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, all the way up to the 30th hour of not eating. It changes your perspective when you have personal experience. Jesus knew what hunger was, and his compassion was rooted in his own human experience. He understood hunger, he understood temptation, he understood the depth of human need. We have a Savior that is familiar with our needs and has compassion for us in the midst of those needs. The truth is that some of the things we experience in life, they allow us to respond with greater compassion for other people when other people find themselves in similar situations. When we've already walked through something that's hard or difficult in life, we have a deeper understanding and therefore are able to show greater compassion. The fifth thing that we see here in this passage is the action of Jesus. The actions of Jesus are really clear in this passage. It says that he took the bread, so he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Right? He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. The actions of Jesus in this story. The process that happens with the bread, I believe, is the same process that Jesus wants to work into our lives. Jesus was given the bread. The disciples gave Jesus all the bread that they had on hand. The total was 7 loaves. Jesus took what they had, and then he used it for his glory. Jesus wants to use us for his glory, but we have to give him our lives in order to do that. Jesus cannot use us until we fully surrender our lives, till we fully give ourselves to him. We have to give him all that we have and all that we are. The only way for us to be kind of to be a kind and compassionate person and to show the compassion that Jesus has shown is for us to give all of ourselves to our Savior. And he can give us that compassion that we can then give to others. But it starts with us giving, right? It's the giving of the bread. It's the giving of ourselves. Making sure that we are saying, God, you have all of who Dustin is. You have all parts of my life. And it says Jesus blessed the bread. The moment that Jesus blessed the bread that day, he set it apart for the use of God. The blessings of Christ is far more than just physical or spiritual. It is about being used for God's glory. The foundation of holiness is the understanding that we are set apart for the work of Christ. Consecration means that something or someone is set apart for the service of God. There is no way that we can be used to our fullest if we do not allow Jesus to set us apart for his work and his plans. The issue is one that brings in surrender and then flows through a willingness to be used. The power of God moves in our lives when we allow ourselves to be used by God. There are a lot of choices that God allows us to make in our lives. He's given us the freedom to make choices. He doesn't want us to be robots. He wants us to hear his word and to make choices and to choose to follow his word. And this is just another one of those things. Jesus broke the bread next. Before Jesus could give the bread to the crowds, he first had to break the bread. I read a blog, and I'm just going to share with you a section of that blog that was talking about Christian brokenness, what it means to be broken. That's kind of a weird word sometimes to describe what it's talking about. But I thought this blog gives us good insight into what brokenness means and the importance of brokenness. So it says, there are many ways to feel broken. Physically, because of illness or injury. Emotionally, because of unfulfilled desires or loss of relationship. Mentally, because of anxiety, depression, or other mental illnesses. Or spiritually, because of crippling doubts or crisis of faith. In the midst of all these, it can be easy to agonize over whether or not we can ever be acceptable to God or be used in his kingdom because we're so human and we're so broken. And then she goes on to say, but brokenness is a gift. Why? Because our brokenness connects us to each other and our brokenness brings us to Christ. It is by bringing our broken hearts to him that we are made whole. From brokenness to wholeness. She goes on to say, sharing our brokenness brings meaning to our experiences, and the connection we make with others when we share our stories brings healing. Being broken is a gift, she ends with. Because when we are broken, we recognize the need for a Savior to make us whole. It's a good way to look at brokenness. When we feel like we're broken, it helps us recognize our need for a Savior to make us whole. Christ is often glorified through brokenness because of what happens on the other side of brokenness. What aspects of your life need to be broken before God before he can fully use you? What has to change before God can do more in and through your life? What areas need to be broken, in a sense? Last thing God did, or Jesus did, was he gave the bread. He gave it. Final step in the process is the giving of the bread to others. Jesus gave away the bread and it began to multiply, right? He took 7 simple loaves and fed 4,000 people. So it had to multiply. The moment that you and I give our lives away in the service of Jesus Christ, the impact is multiplied. When we are blessed and broken, we then are a benefit to other people. It's not until we go through the process of the bread that we can make a larger impact in the world around us and in the kingdom of God. We have the opportunity to be the examples of Christ's compassion. Each and every day, we have those opportunities. My prayer for us this morning is that as believers in Jesus Christ, that our desire would be to each and every day look for those opportunities to show compassion. And remember that compassion isn't just our thoughts or our words, but compassion so often involves our actions that follow that. If we do that as believers in Jesus Christ, we impact the world, we impact our community, we impact our own lives spiritually. Jesus is an amazing example, is the best example of compassion that we can ever see. I love the very first line of the song, Mighty to Save. Right? Anybody remember what the first line of that is? Everyone needs compassion. Love that's never failing. I guarantee you, as you go throughout the rest of today and the rest of this week, everyone needs compassion. People need compassion. And you can choose. We can choose as believers in Christ to be the ones to offer that compassion. Will we choose to do it is the question. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for the example that you have given us throughout Scripture of compassion, but this morning as we look at this one story, I thank you for what we can learn from your word. Lord God, as we open your word, we are given the opportunity to allow it to change ourselves, who we are. My prayer would be, Lord God, that we didn't just read and hear your word this morning, but we absorb your word and we allow it to help make us who we are. I would pray, Lord God, that as we leave here this morning, as we go into the rest of this day and the rest of this week, that we could be people that bring hope to other people through showing compassion to other people. There are way too many people in this world that are compassionless, that walk by the pit and say, I feel for you down there. Or just keep walking. Or they feel that you deserve it. But Lord God, help us to be the person that reaches into the pit and helps pull our brother and sister out, because we're putting action to our compassion. Give us those opportunities, I pray. In your holy name, amen.